You are now tuned in to the Commissioner's Conversation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is
Commissioner Gordon.
Yes, sir. Welcome back. You are listening to the Commissioner's Conversation. I am your host, Commissioner Gordon. How's everybody feeling out there? Are you enjoying your holiday break? Did you get a holiday break? You just get a break for Christmas. You just got Christmas Eve off. You got Christmas off just because it was the weekend. And then Monday, it was back at it. Yeah, man. I am enjoying what little time off I had. And I'm looking to get back out here in these streets and kicking it with you all. Because, you know, that's what I do. I'm a man for the people, you know. So I like hanging with y'all. And I like y'all hanging with me. But for today, I'm here in the home studio, kicking it, man, because like I told you that on the last one, that was the last Commissioner's Conversation live from Blends that we were going to have for the year, but I wasn't done talking. I still wanted to give y'all some of this good Commissioner's Conversation that I want to have and that I think that you want to have, so I wanted, you know, to record a couple things and just get something off my chest and let me see what you think. You know, you can always holler at me at the.commissioner.gordon on Instagram, at G Robinson Sports on Twitter, and Commissioner Gordon Robinson on Facebook, and we can chop it up and we can kick it. Tell me you like what I was talking about. Tell me you thought I was crazy, whatever. Just do it respectfully and we can have a great conversation. So some of the things that I want to talk about today, man, is look, it's been in the news locally and nationally. You know, there's been speculations of Trae Young and the Hawks might be trading Trae, or Trae might be asking for a trade and looking to get out. We'll get into that. Also, did you hear that LeBron said he wanted to play until he was 45 years old? Yeah, he said he was inspired by Tom Brady. We will get into that. And also, after we do all of that, I kind of want to touch back in on the conversation that we've been having in previous weeks about Deion Sanders being out of Colorado. And I want to tell you, or I want you to tell me, what you think success at Colorado looks like. You know what I'm saying? So we'll get into that and then we'll break it down. And then I'll let you know that we have big things coming up in terms of the live podcast that we're going to start making some adjustments here and there. And so I appreciate everyone that's come out and supported us and came and kicked it with us. You know, a lot of great relationships that have been made, man. And I want to continue and further all of that and moving forward into 23. So without any further ado, man, let's get into the Commissioner's Conversation.
Commissioner Gordon.
All right. So everybody hit me up one day. I think it was on Bleacher Report or something, one of those outlets where they basically made a comment. Somebody had written an article that said Trae Young is probably the next young athlete who will probably be asking for or seeking a trade from the Atlanta Hawks. Now, personally, I know what it is. A lot of times it's clickbait. It's a dead news period, but to this one, there's some validity to it. Like, first I brushed it off. I didn't think of it was anything to it. But after breaking down some layers, you start to see that there may be more fire in this smoke. Because initially, quite frankly, I just brushed it off because they said the same thing about DeMar DeRozan. But once again, as you start to peel back those layers, there's a little bit of fire in that smoke too. But we'll stick with Trae right now, man. Like, if you don't know, if you're unfamiliar with the Atlanta Hawks situation, Atlanta Hawks draft Luka Doncic, make a trade with the Dallas Mavericks for Trae Young, and they swap. And both are going on to be fairly successful, man. Like, I don't want to sit here and seem like I'm a Luka hater or I'm a Trae hater or any of that. Both young men are going on to successful careers. They're starting out doing well. Both of them made it to the conference finals of their respective teams. And by all aspects of it, seem to be superstars in the game. Luka's doing what he's doing in Dallas. He just put up a masterful triple-double where it was like 60 points, 20 rebounds, and like 12 assists or something crazy. Trae Young is doing big things. He's injured now, currently, with the calf sprain. But prior to in the Hawks playoff runs, I've never seen anyone captivate a crowd quite like Trae Young. Like Steph Curry can do it and amaze the crowd at some of the crazy shots that he's taking and he's making. But Trae can literally have an entire arena booing him, screaming F you Trae Young, doing all this stuff, and is unfazed. It seems like he plays better when it happens. I wish it would happen in Orlando. I wish it would happen in Indiana. I wish it would happen in more places, because sometimes he looks fairly uninterested when we're playing these games, whether we're playing Oklahoma City or Sacramento Kings or some of these games that he doesn't feel like they're big games. He doesn't go all out, and it isn't that Trae Young that we know and we love, or that you know and you hate. And with that being said, I think there's frustration with Nate McMillan. And they have friction. Nate is an old school coach, man. Nate is one of those guys. He came up, you know, 70s, 80s, early 90s basketball. And so he plays and he knows the game a certain way. And I say that saying that even old school guys that we may consider old school, they don't like Nate. I heard Matt Barnes and, damn, I can't think of the other player's name. Matt Barnes was on an interview with someone else. I can't think of the dude's name right off the top of my head, but they were there and they were expressing their frustration and how much they hated Nate McMillan when they were talking about him, when this whole scenario came out with Nate McMillan supposedly sitting Trae Young out of the game, or Trae supposedly opting to sit out after Nate McMillan supposedly or allegedly said, you're either going to go out for shoot-around or you're not going to play. Or you're going to come off the bench or you're not going to play. And Trae opted to not play. Now, people have said that those things didn't happen. But where did that shit come from? Like, where did these quotes come from if it didn't happen? Reporters, witnesses, people didn't just make this up out of thin air. You know what I'm saying? It came from somewhere. And so I believe that if it may not have been said in those specific words, the sentiment was there. And Nate is telling him, I'm tired of this. I'm tired of you being a diva. And I say all the time, I think what happens with Trae Young is Trae Young needs to grow up. Trae Young has been spoiled. And there's something that needs to happen to where he has to grow up. And I don't know if him being traded is what's going to have to happen. But we have that friction with him and head coach Nate McMillan. Also, there's rumors of friction with him in the locker room. Like, there's being reported, or I've been hearing whispers about a lot of the guys in the locker room don't like him. And it's been documented. He and John Collins don't see eye to eye. But John Collins is a professional, and John Collins will tell you that I'm going to go out here and do my job. And if you're just the average or casual NBA watcher or a casual Hawks fan and you're just watching the Hawks game, if you watch them on the floor, you won't see that there's a rift, or you won't see that there's a discord anywhere, because they play basketball as if they're in sync a lot of times, until Trae Young goes off and he starts to jack, you know, 40-foot threes or whatever he's doing. And sometimes he hit them and sometimes he don't. It changes the game one way or the other. But there's that rift. There's that rumor that there's a little friction in the locker room. I don't know where DeJounte Murray fits in with that friction. I don't know if we brought him in and guys like him better. I don't know. But once again, there's that friction. Some people look at Trae Young as a selfish basketball player. And if you watch the game, you'd be like, I can see how they would think that. And then there's the reporting of where Landry Fields is now moving up to general manager, because Travis Schlenk has basically requested to take some time off or move up into an advisory role because he wants to be more involved with his family, or he want to do some stuff with his family and all that stuff. And Schlenk was the one who initially pulled the trigger of the deal to bring Trae Young to Atlanta and make that trade with Luka Doncic and Dallas and the Dallas Mavericks. And the only reason why I brought that up is just because anytime you have a change in front office, head coach, anything like that, those guys aren't bound to the normal system. Even though Landry Fields was a part of the system already, he's not bound to what Travis Schlenk thought was going to be a good basketball team. I'm sure he has his ideas on what he wants to do, how he wants to make his imprint on this Hawks franchise. And maybe he's looking at the same thing that I'm just telling you in terms of problems with the head coach, problems in the locker room, not consistently winning, not consistently putting forth effort. Maybe it's time for a change. Now, I say maybe it's time for a change, but don't be fooled. Like, I do not believe that the Atlanta Hawks are going to trade Trae Young this year. I just don't believe that's going to happen. Because, one, Trae's a superstar, much like I just told you. You don't just trade the superstar. You do everything you can do in your reach. You do everything you can possibly do to not trade that star, to make this whole situation work. And the first thing that's going to happen is, which may happen at the end of this year, is might fire Nate McMillan. Nate McMillan will probably be fired by the Atlanta Hawks at the end of this season if there's no turnaround, if the Hawks lose the play-in, don't make the play-in. They're going to look at Nate. They're going to look at the friction that's going on between him and the star player, and they're going to get rid of Nate McMillan. The head coach is always going to be the fall guy. So with Nate being an old school type coach, with Nate being that type player, that type coach who's looking for that type basketball, you're going to have to bring in a new head coach. You're going to have to bring in a new school head coach. Me personally, I make a call up to Boston. I'm Adoka. What do you want? Let's do it. Just don't be down here messing with the employees. I'll give you a lifetime membership to Magic City. Give you a lifetime membership to the Cheetah, if that's your thing. If you like those type ladies, we'll put you in those scenarios. Hey, I can tell you to all the clubs that you can go to fulfill your needs. Just keep it out of the office. Keep it out of the arena. And I think he's learned that lesson. I would assume he's learned that lesson. That man was front page news. It was real shit going on out here. And we were talking about Ime Udoka and Nia Long. They were putting up women that he wasn't even sleeping with, causing all kind of friction in other folks' houses. So I assume that Ime Udoka has learned his lesson. And I hope that he's learned his lesson, because I'd be bringing his ass down to Atlanta. Let's see if we can fix this. Let's see if we can fix this this discord in between, this friction between John and Trae and the rest of the locker room. Let's see if we can put this together. And the reason why I say I think Ime Udoka can do it is because prior to Ime Udoka being with the Boston Celtics, when Brad Stevens was the head coach, what did they say? Oh, man. Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, man. They can only go so far. You got to trade one, and you're not trading Jason Tatum because he's the star. So you got to trade the secondary piece. You got to trade Jaylen Brown because they've hit their peak. They've touched the ceiling. Brad Stevens moves up, promotes Ime Udoka. What happens? They go to the NBA Finals. So I think it can work. I think he's a good coach. I think he can make some magic happen here in Atlanta. But that's going to have to happen. I don't know if they'll, I don't know if that's anybody's idea. I don't know if Landry Fields has thought about it. I don't have any inside intel. Don't quote me. These are just what I believe should happen. These are just some people who I believe we should look at. Some of the scenarios that I believe we should think about. And if you agree, if you disagree, once again, at the.commissioner.gordon on Instagram, at G Robinson Sports on Twitter, holla at me. But if we bring in Ime Udoka, if we bring in a new school coach, if we do all those things that's going to have to happen so that Trey is happy and feels like he's still the man, still the franchise, all of that stuff, that we're still rocking with him. If we do all of those things and then next year doesn't work, there's still friction. Trey doesn't get along with this head coach. He doesn't get along with these guys. Are we going to trade John Collins? John Collins rumors have been going on for about 3 years now. I don't think John Collins is the problem. I don't like the contract that we gave him, but I don't think as a player, John Collins is a problem. But if it doesn't work, then I think some of the blame and some of the fingers are really going to start to point to Trey. And it would have to, because that would mean it would be like his third head coach. And you're going to start to become known as a coach killer, because you can't keep firing coaches until you get it right with Trey. Eventually, you're going to look at Trey like, God damn, we got to get rid of you. The problem is your ass. But and even before it gets to that point, though, I think that's where the Bleacher Report article comes into play, where you're talking about within another 2 years time frame, Trey Young decides to ask for a trade, because if you're repeatedly going coach after coach after coach, you're going to be known as the coach killer. And no player wants that label. No player in the world, because there's not a GM, there's not a head coach. If you're the head coach of the New York Knicks or the Los Angeles Lakers or the Chicago Bulls, if you're the head coach and the GM has decided to bring in a player known as a coach killer, you don't want that. Because guess what? That means the clock is ticking and my seat is fucking hot. So I think Trey, before he gets that stench put on him, I think he's going to ask for a trade and maybe demand for a trade. And looking at some of the trade, we look at some of the rumors. I'll just go through them very quickly. I saw some stuff with Boston Celtics. Boston Celtics may be players in the Trey Young trade rumors. Now, what will we get for Trey, you ask? What I saw at the time was Jaylen Brown. Danilo Gallinari comes back. And then we get a 25 first-round draft pick and a 27 first-round draft pick. I'm not mad at that. Honestly, like, I think we get the short end of the stick, but I'm not really mad at that. I think those draft picks legitimately help the team build and help the team put something else. So you have DeJounte Murray, you still have John Collins, you still have Clint Capela, and now you add Jaylen Brown to that mix along with the young guys and AJ Griffin and Jalen Johnson. And then that'll give you a little something that you can package up with these two first round picks or with some of these young players and bring in another piece that you could possibly help win, that can possibly help you win ASAP. So I ain't mad at that. Like I said, we talked about DeMar DeRozan. There been some friction within that locker room. He and Zach LaVine apparently aren't getting along very well. They just had a big win the other day where DeMar brought him back. And DeMar is a hell of a player. So like I said, I saw something that said trade for DeMar DeRozan. You'd have to do a sign and trade with DeRozan. And then to make money work, you probably would have to throw in a player like an Andre Drummond. And again, I'm not mad at that. You get DeMar DeRozan, older guy, which puts us into more of a win now type flavor. It puts us in a win now type thing. And you bring in Andre Drummond. It gives you size. You don't have to, Andre Drummond is not the big scorer or the big man scorer, but it does give you size. You can bring that off the bench. And if you still have Clint Capella, who's a defensive guy, you got Andre Drummond, who's an imposing and defensive guy. I think that makes you for a pretty decent team. Again, Chicago Bulls, I ain't mad at. I saw another one trade for Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. I think I like SGA. I do. And I wouldn't be mad at it. I think I'd have to see what all comes with that. You know what I'm saying? Like, what are we sending away? What do we get? But, I mean, in terms of player, he's an exciting guy. He's an all-star caliber player. And I don't know if it's a straight-up trade, but I wouldn't be... I'm not as favorable of that as I am the rest, but I'm still not totally opposed. You know what I'm saying? And that, for Trey, it's give him the chance to go home. You know, he's from Oklahoma. And it pairs him with Chet Holmgren, who we've yet to begin to see because the young man got injured before the season even started. So, I'm not mad at that. But like I said, you got Boston, you got Chicago, you got OKC. I saw something with Dallas Mavericks. Like, supposedly, the Vegas numbers say that Dallas would have the highest odds to land Trey. And if you look at Trey's, well, if you look at Dallas's roster, I wouldn't doubt it. They got a bunch of bullshit contracts. But if I'm the Hawks, I don't want none of that. There's nothing outside of Luka that I want from Dallas. Nothing. You can keep the Tim Hardaway Jr.'s. He was here. You can keep the, damn, I forgot my boy's name. You can keep, I don't care. You can keep him. You can keep all that. Miami Heat, saw a couple things. Jimmy Butler, I don't really want him. He's old, starting to get injury prone. There's usually a couple different attitudes and, you know, little things that follow him around also. But it would have been Jimmy Butler and Tyler Hero for Trae Young. Like I said, I'm straight on that. Or I also heard like Kyle Lowry and Victor Oladipo, which I absolutely hate because if you know me, you know I'm not a big fan of Kyle Lowry. And I think Victor Oladipo was a big ball of potential that never amounted to shit. I mean, he was a good player. Hell, he torched the Hawks a few times. But he never became what a lot of people who watch the game, who know the game, thought that he was gonna become. He didn't become the Dwayne Wade. He didn't become what we see Ant-Man out in Minnesota becoming, which brings me to Ant-Man. Atlanta fans, get that shit off your brain. Minnesota is not trading Anthony Edwards to Atlanta. It's not happening. Minnesota's probably having the most fun and the most success that they've had since they've had Kevin Garnett and Stephon Marbury. Yes, they're going through a couple tribulations with trials and tribulations with Karl Anthony Towns and him being injured, and he's had some ups and downs, but don't lump Ant-Man in that equation. They love him. And yes, I would love to have him for the Hawks, but I know ain't no damn way they sending him to us. Memphis and New Orleans ain't getting rid of nothing they got. They not. So we're not getting John Morant for no damn Trae Young. We ain't getting no Brandon Ingram. We ain't getting no Zion. We ain't getting none of that shit for Trae Young. Why would New Orleans do that? Take two to make the trade. You can't just go on the ESPN trade machine and be like, ooh, I can make these numbers work. Yeah. But it works on the internet. It don't work in real life, big dog. Shut it down. Golden State, they have a lot of young pieces, but I think that they are going to try to keep that little young core together to try to keep them around Jordan Poole. Like the Jonathan Kuminga, dope player. He's still developing. Wiggins, I think he may be the most tradable piece. But I don't want Andrew Wiggins. You know what I'm saying? Wiseman, I think they're still waiting. Like he's a big ball of potential, just talking about how we were talking about that earlier. But he's young enough so that you could still wait. You feel like you can still develop. You can still put him with someone and he'll shine. Like I said, but they're building that squad. And if you watch Golden State, especially these past couple games with Steph Curry being out, you see why the hell they kept Jordan Poole. Like, they didn't make that trade. Like, typically when some shit happens, like when Draymond punches Jordan Poole in the face, somebody got to go. Like, it typically is a either-or scenario. Like, it's either me or him because it's going to be on site every damn day. We got to fight every day. So, it's typically one of those situations. And that's why, if you watch the game, you look and you see some of the stuff that Jordan Poole is doing, you're like, oh, okay. I see why they're holding on to this young man. And you also may know that the time may be very, very limited on Draymond. And probably in the next few years, we don't know how long Steph Curry is going to play. We don't know how long Klay Thompson is going to play. But I don't know if I see them playing another 4 or 5 years. Do you think Klay Thompson has another 4 years in him? And not to say that he can't do it. I don't think he wants to do it. I don't know if Steph wants to do it. Steph is becoming a celebrity off the court as well. He's a likable young man. He's starting to get, he had a little golf game show on like Fox and, or ABC or one of those networks. He's starting to be more and more present on the television screen outside of the basketball game. And you can do that forever. And you don't have to have the strain of 82 games and playoffs. My body, my hamstring, my knees, my back, my ankles. I can go out here and be a star. I can make my family stars. I can make my daughter a star, my wife a star. We can go out here and have a reality show. I'm sure if he quit today and decided that he wanted to have a reality show and show his family and what they do and the day-to-day goings-on in the Curry household, he could do it. They'll follow around his mama. They'll follow around his daddy. They'll follow around his daughter. They'll follow around his wife. They'll follow around him. But my fault. I digress. was basically say that to say I think Golden State is going to keep that young core as long as they possibly can because they don't really know how many more years you have with the old core. So that trade probably ain't happening for Trae Young because they got him in Jordan Poole. We got a guy in the system. So yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting to see what happens with the Atlanta Hawks the remainder of this season. It'll be interesting to see what happens with Nate McMillan. It'll be interesting to see what happens in the NBA. Like I said, I encourage you to interact with me, man. Let me know what you think. Am I off base? Do you agree with me 100%? Let me know what's up.
Commissioner Gordon.
So, I don't know if you saw this. Like, it's been popping up just here and there, where LeBron has recently said he was inspired by Tom Brady. He's inspired by Tom Brady and what Tom is able to do out here on the football field. He feels like he got some more years in him. In fact, he feels like he got about 7 more years in him because he want to play till he's 45. And after one of the games the other night, recently he was asked, like, do you really think that that's your number? That's the goal, to go continue to play until 45. And he basically was like, listen, man. He doesn't really have a number, but he says basically as long as his mind is into it, then his body is going to follow. His body is going to be okay, which I know LeBron James is a freak of nature, man. To do what he's doing at 38 is amazing. I know that he's also spent 20 years in the league. And I know that he's spent a lot of money on his health, on his body, on his workouts. I know that. But the old adage is, Father Time is undefeated. And he's even made the damn commercials. Him against Father Time, where they, you know, doing random stuff off of these commercials. And then Father Time win, and sometimes LeBron win, and all this stuff. And his kids looking at him crazy because it looked like he's basically fighting against himself or competing against himself. It's a funny commercial. It's a pretty dope idea. But all in all, in reality, Father Time is pretty damn undefeated. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's nobody who you can honestly say didn't get beat by Father Time, whether it's an injury bug, whether it's, you know, just not fitting in with today's environment. Because at some point in time, people look at LeBron like, hey, man, why this old nigga keep talking to me? Trying to tell me what to do. But, you know, he's legendary. He's LeBron. Like I said, Jordan was scoring 20 points, 40 points with the Wizards. But we don't remember those as fond years of Michael Jordan. Matter of fact, a lot of people erase those years away from their memory. They just remember Chicago Bulls, MJ. But he was putting up, and I think he was averaging 20 at Washington. So, body-wise, he wasn't what he was. Mentally, I think he was still there. But he was being defeated by Father Time. Whether it was the locker room, whether it was his body breaking down, he was being defeated. And I think LeBron is a little, you know, egotistical when he can say, well, you know, as long as I'm in it mentally, my mind is in it, I can, my body will follow, my body gonna be okay. Okay. We'll see. But he did go on to continue to say that he's a winner and he wants to win. And he wants to win another championship. He wants some more rings. I agree with that. I wholeheartedly agree with that. LeBron James is a winner, dog. Like, you can't sit here and tell me that there's nothing that you can see in terms of play where you say, man, LeBron out here just playing basketball. There's a bunch of players you can say, they out here just playing basketball. LeBron James ain't just playing basketball. LeBron James is trying his damnedest to play winning basketball at every location he's been. And for that, he's taking a lot of heat. A lot of times, you got these guys like Skip Bayless who crush him because they say he should be taking these last second shots. But if you watch the damn game, LeBron is making the best play. He's making the best basketball play. He's not being selfish and just saying, oh, it's four guys draped all over me, but I'm LeBron James and I'm just going to put this damn shot up. He's making the best basketball play. So with that being said, you could see him trying to win. You know that he's a winner and he wants to win above all else. And with that being said, man, there's a few things. Like, and I'm going to keep this really brief because I think I went a little long on the Trey thing. But I'm going to keep this brief. If LeBron absolutely wants to win and he really is trying to go out here and win a few more rings for his legacy, put a few more notches on his belt and get into that Mount Rushmore of the NBA, get into that Mount Rushmore in terms of basketball, and have you think of him over Kobe, have you think of him in the same breath as Michael Jordan, he's got to make some adjustments, man. And I say he's got to make some adjustments, meaning you got to let your friends go, bro. You gotta let your friends go. People tell you that all the time. As you grow up, sometimes your friends ain't going where you're going. Ain't that what they tell you? You know, all the time, you can't take everybody with you, man. And I say that to say, AD can't go with you no more, bro. You gotta let Anthony Davis go. At this point in this many years, Anthony Davis is what he is. In the words of Charles Barkley, Anthony Street Clothes Davis. He's always damn hurt, bro. You got to let him go. I know he's a part of your team. He's under your whole Clutch Sports Management, all of that shit. You have to let him go. Let him go be great in Miami. Let him go be great maybe for the Clippers. Let him go be great in Sacramento, Oklahoma City. Let him go to someone else who may want him. Because he's not the Chris Bosh. or he's not the Kevin Love. He's not that piece that you thought he was. He's a good guy, but he's too inconsistent and he's too injury prone. And yes, you won the championship. You pat him on the back. He won a ring for that championship in the bubble. Like, I count the bubble championship. It was basketball. I'm not one of those guys who would say, oh, it's not a real championship. It was a real damn championship. You had real guys playing. You had NBA players playing basketball, and the Lakers won. So for that, congratulations, Anthony Davis. You won a ring. Now go do your thing someplace else. Because I think for the betterment of this team, we no longer need you. And then with that, you have to find a star player. You have to find someone who's willing to play with LeBron James. And LeBron James has to be willing to now take off the Batman outfit and put on that put on that ugly-ass suit that we all seen Robin with. He's got to become Robin. He's got to become the second option. A lot of players don't have that in them to become the second option. That was one of the biggest things that hurt Allen Iverson. He did not want to become that second option. I didn't say come off the bench. I said be the number two. You have to find one of these guys. LeBron James has to pair himself up with a guy who can take the game over. And if something happens to that guy, then you can do your thing. And I'm not saying LeBron is washed. LeBron has been playing some great damn basketball this season. But I think, again, it's taking a toll on his body because he's carrying some bums. That shit wears on you. When you carry a terrible squad, when you have to put this whole team on your back, along with the stress of having to defend, should you trade Russ? Should you trade AD? And all this stuff, and people calling you the GM and saying you fucked up the team, that shit is stressful. That wears on your body. That wears on your mind. But you'd have to go find one of these guys and be willing to be a distributor. Be willing to be the second scorer. Be willing to say, okay, every night is not going to be my night to put the team on my back. Sometimes I'm going to rely on him. Oftentimes I'm going to rely on him. Hell, 75% of the time I'm going to rely on him, whoever him is. And him needs to be found by Rob Pelinka. Needs to be found by whoever the hell the GM is or whatever the hell team that LeBron is going to continue to play for. LeBron can't be out here, once again, picking up his buddies. Your friends can't go everywhere you go. It's not for them. Let them go do their own thing and write their own history in basketball. Yes, it would have been lovely at one point in time to see LeBron team up with Chris Paul and Carmelo Anthony. He brought Carmelo in, but Carmelo Anthony and Chris Paul and whoever else, and they would have been the Banana Boat Boys, and they'd all won together, and they'd all drifted off into the sunset like an old Western. But it didn't happen. Your friends can't go everywhere you damn go. So you can't be out here in the GM's ear saying you want this guy. I like that guy. I think he'll be a great piece. Sit down, shut up, strap in, and let me do my job. Let me find this guy. Let me find that guy. Because I'm putting together a team and not just, you know, a band of basketball players. Putting together an actual team that we can contend and win championships with. So I think LeBron is willing to do that. I think he has to trust management. I think he has to trust head coaches. I think he has to trust ownership to be able to sit back. But I think he wants to do that. Honestly, I think he's willing and wanting to do it. But we'll see. We'll see how it plays out. I would love to see LeBron James at 45. Like, if LeBron could play at 45 years old, I would love to watch it. And We can later on get into all the conspiracies about whether he wants to, you know, he's trying to get his sons in the league. He's trying to get Bronny to play on a certain team, and he doesn't feel like Bronny's good enough to get drafted. So he's holding a team hostage to try to pull his son on the team. We can get into all that another time. But right now, I'm just here to tell you, I think LeBron, if he wants to, and I'm knocking on wood, all things being equal, that he doesn't sustain an injury, he could play till he's 45. Like you said, as long as he's mentally into it, like, you know, how again, look, same thing with Tom Brady. How long are you comfortable with not seeing your children consistently? You know, I think it may be a wrap for his sons, you know, Bryce and Bronny. Bronny is about to be, you know, go off to school in a minute. And Bryce is, I think, will be going into his junior year after this season. And it may be a wrap on them. But, you know, dads and their daughters, you know, he got a little girl. She, you know, and dads and their daughters, man, you don't want to miss that. You want to be there for in your daughter's life. Because you're setting an example for what may become of what kind of dude she dates. So, like I said, I think he's willing to do it. I think he's willing to take the back seat. I don't know what he's thinking. I don't know what, you know, I'm just, but like I said, for me, you got to let AD go. You got to be willing to take that back seat. And you got to take your hand off the steering wheel and not try to tell Rob Pelinka or whoever the GM is going to be who you want on your team, because they're trying to please you because you're LeBron. You may not be the GM, but the GM is trying to please you because of who you are, and you have to understand it. So sit back and shut up and let them folks do their job.
Commissioner Gordon.
Well, I know I told you that we would probably get into a little Deion talk, but we're going a little long right now. I do want to say we have some big things underway for the Commissioner's Conversation Live. I appreciate everybody this year who came out, participated, man. I made so many great new friends, so many great new relationships, whether it was from us just networking and politicking and talking shit to each other, to us growing and bonding and expressing ideas. You know, so I thoroughly appreciate everyone who's come out, who supported the Commissioner's Conversation Live. And big news is on the way on how we're going to move forward with the Commissioner's Conversation Live with Greenwood Whiskey. Big salute to my Greenwood Whiskey family. G Rush is my dog, man. I just got phone with G Rush earlier today, and we were talking about what we're going to do and some of the things that we have, some ideas that we've been sharing towards each other. Big salute to him. That's my partner in this whole live situation. Big salute to KG, everybody. Like I said, the whole Greenwood Whiskey family. Big salute to my guy, Jay Risky, the Garlitos. You know, Great Smokes 2016. Go check them out. That's my boy. He's doing major, major things. Salute to him. Salute to my co-host that was always with me every Monday, Lico Brown. Go out, check him out, man. He's got a bunch of things working. Bunch of stuff working, you know what I'm saying? Whether it's music, whether it's acting, whether it's, you know, the man is a renaissance man, you know what I'm saying? So check him out. Big salute to Lico. You know, I appreciate Bailey. Bailey over at The Blends 2, 632 South Central Avenue, for bringing us out, having us come out and allowing us to be out there every Monday and doing our thing, you know? And so I appreciate all of our people who came out and networked. My boy Matt from Atlantic Clothing Company, he's come out consistently. You know, we got a bunch of guys. I don't want to get in the name of a bunch of people because I don't want anybody to feel like they've been left out. But big salute to everyone who came out, who continuously supports the Commissioner Conversation Live. And in 2023, I promise you, we will continue this. We will grow this, and we will have much more bigger conversations, funnier conversations, better conversations, all of the above. You name it, we're going to do it. So until next year, I usually say until next week, I holler. Until next year, Holla.